So we are continuing in Acts. Pastor Bernard was preaching in Acts 9. He talked about Saul's conversion to Paul. And so this week we're going to be, they're messing with my mic a little bit. I hear it going up and down. You still messing with it? Okay. It's Bernard, yeah. But it's going up and down, sorry. Anyway, so we're going to continue in Acts chapter 9, but it's going to be the last part. And we're switching gears. It's not going to be about Paul this week. It's going to be, we're talking about Peter. And so if you want to turn to Acts chapter 9, we're going to be starting with verse 32 through 42. We're going to be talking about how Peter heals Aeneas. I'm terrible with these pronunciations. Aeneas and Dorcas. So we're going to be talking about, I'm in and out. We're going to be talking about that today. So let's kind of give you a little background. These are two miracles that take place in these 10 verses. And, you know, we all love miracles. You know, we just prayed over Kathy, and, you know, miracles still happen. We may not realize that. We may not see it as much as, you know, how Jesus performed miracles on people. We might not see that kind of happening. And, you know, we love miracles. We love those stories of miracles. And so, like I said, the last portion of chapter 9 is going to be talking about two miracles that Peter performed. And he made his home, Peter made his home in Jerusalem. And now he's moving out, going to evangelize into churches in the cities northeast of Jerusalem. And so here he visits a congregation that sprung up as a result of the death of Stephen. So if you remember, we talked about the death of Stephen. When they stoned him, they scattered. The disciples scattered out. And so he is visiting this church that came from that scatter. And as he journeyed, eventually God led him to Lydda and then on to Joppa. So let's start reading. We're going to read verses 32 through 35 to start in chapter 9. So meanwhile, Peter traveled from place to place, and he came down to visit the believers in the town. There he met a man named Aeneas, who had been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your sleeping mat." And he was healed instantly. Then the whole population of Lydda and Sharon saw Aeneas walking around, and they turned to the Lord. So the reference that Peter visited the believers there in Lydda suggests he was there supporting the believers that were already in that area. So he wasn't there to start something. It was something that was already going. So Lydda was located in the coastal plain of Sharon, which was about 25 miles northwest of Jerusalem, on the road to Joppa. And so this account of Peter's encounter with Aeneas resembles Jesus healing the paralyzed man. You know, we're not told what happened to Aeneas. He'd only been paralyzed for 8 years. So he wasn't born that way. He could have had an accident. He could have gotten it from a disease. We just don't know. We're not told a whole lot about him. But we just know that for 8 years he had been paralyzed. So Peter called out to Jesus. And he gives Jesus the credit. As we read there, he said, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll your mat." So he gave Jesus all the credit. Peter then tells him, you know, to get up and roll up his mat, which emphasized that Aeneas, do it yourself. So he responded immediately. He began walking around, and because he was healed, many were saved. So like we mentioned, something happened to him along his path that made him paralyzed. Not sure exactly what. It stopped him from living the life that he was living. He no longer could walk. He laid around. So I'm sure that whatever happened to him, he thought his life was probably changed forever. He probably thought he was paralyzed, and that's just the way he was going to live his life. But God. And that's kind of what we're going to be emphasizing on today is but God. I've heard that, I don't know, a lot over the last few months, and it keeps coming back. This is what we're talking about today, but God. So how many times in your life has something happened that's outside of your control? A lot. every single day something happens that's outside of our control. But something that happened that paralyzes you, something that just stops you in your tracks, and you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I just don't know. So you're paralyzed from it. Maybe you're not paralyzed to the point of not being able to walk, but it paralyzes you emotionally and spiritually. Maybe it's a family member that died. Maybe it's a child's bad decision. You know, maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it is a cancer diagnosis. You know, we just don't know. But different things happen in our life that just paralyzes us and stops us in our tracks. And during that time, we probably feel like our life will never, ever be the same. The normal life that we're used to is just gone forever. I've had several moments in my life that seemed to have paralyzed me. And going back to a child's bad decisions, you know, my oldest, Caleb, he's 20 now. A few years ago, he was going through some stuff. I'll just leave it at that. And basically told us at Christmas that he wanted his space and didn't want anything to do with us. That stopped me in my tracks. And that paralyzed me. And I just started praying and praying and praying. Probably went for a month or so and didn't hear anything from him. And anybody that knows Caleb now knows he calls me about every day. So that was a time in my life that stopped me. Having a child not want to talk to his parents is really, really hard. And again, he was going through some stuff, and praise God, he came out of that. And, you know, seems to be on the right track. But things happen in our lives that paralyze us, that stop us. Something else that happened, and you've heard our story, mine and Randy's story before, but Randy lost his job in November of 2010, and then I left my job in January 2011. And so we both had really good paying jobs, a nice house. We had all those worldly possessions, you know, that we wanted. And when all that was taking place, we were not in church. We were not saved. So, you know, we were living that worldly lifestyle. And that time left me paralyzed as well, because we lost everything. And so, you know, not knowing what we were going to do, not knowing how we were going to survive, how we were going to pay our bills, how we were going to pay for Christmas, how all these different things, but God. He stepped in and took care of us. Even though we were not saved and we were not living our life for him, he took care of us. He made a way when there seemed to be no way. And he put people in our lives that helped us. We had a really dear friend who gave us money so I could buy the boys Christmas presents. You know, it just, God takes care of his people. Although we might not be living right at the time, he knows what's going to happen in the future. And because that happened, I am where I am right now. So we just have to realize that he loves us, even if we don't love him, and that he puts people in our lives that will help us. He provided jobs for both of us. He took so good care of us when we were running from him. And so now I think back and I was like, man, how would it have been if I'd been running toward him? But I was running away from him. But he still took care of us. He loved us that much. He knew what the future held, and he continued to pursue us, even when we made stupid choices. We made some stupid, stupid choices. It's just amazing to me to think back on that. We chose everything but him, but he still loved us anyway. God was there when we hit that rock bottom, and he helped us up. He loved us where we were, and by his grace and mercy, our story did not end there. But God. Aeneas was bedridden and paralyzed for 8 years. And he probably felt like his life was over. But God. God sent Peter there to heal him. That's why Peter was there. He was there to heal him. Because God had a purpose and a plan. Aeneas' story reminds us that no one is too insignificant to be used in a mighty way by God. He may have lain on his mat for 8 years believing he could do nothing for the Lord. But God chose him to be the spark that would help bring this whole region to faith in Christ. And if God could use him, he can use us. Even if you are at a point in your life where you feel like you're paralyzed and you can't do anything for him, but God. He will use you where you are. He will take what you're going through, that valley you're going through, and use it for somebody else's good. So don't think that something that you're going through right now is not worth it. It's hard. Those hard times are hard, and you think you're by yourself, but you're not. And if you continue going toward Him, running toward Him, He's going to bring you out of it, and He's going to use your mess. And He's going to make it help somebody else along the way. God can take our down times to teach us who is in control. That's how we learn. That's how, you know, when we lost everything, that's how we learned who was in control. Wasn't me. Wasn't Randy. It was God. You know, God can take those valleys in our life to grow our faith. And that's so true. He will take our faith that's sometimes just the mustard seed, and He will grow it. And we will have this new love and depth of relationship with Him if we will allow Him. He can take our problems, save us, help us, and then use us to help others. That's what we're here for. You know, we're not here for our own gain. We are here to help others. We're here to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. If you think you're on this earth just because you're special, you are special. In God's eyes, you are special. But you are here for a purpose and a plan. And He wants to use you to help others. Just like He took Aeneas. I cannot say his name. I want to say Ananias. I know that's not right. Just like He took Aeneas and used him. You know, he was paralyzed. He sent Peter there to heal him. And then there was a lot of people in that area that got saved because they saw him walking. They saw that miracle. So when you are down for the count, when you feel like all is lost, when you're paralyzed and you just don't know what to do, and you think your life is done, but God. But God. Let Him work. Don't stand in His way. Let Him work. And He will heal you from being paralyzed just like He did and used Peter to do that. So now let's continue reading. We're going to read now about the next miracle that Peter performed. So verses 36 through 42 is where Peter raises Dorcas from the dead. So let's start with verse 36. There was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. So she lived in this town called Joppa, a city on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And Dorcas, also called Tabitha, Dorcas in the Greek name meant gazelle. And it meant the same in Aramaic with Tabitha. So Dorcas was a charitable person who made things, especially clothing, for the needy in Joppa. So she was well known. A lot of people knew her. So let's continue reading, verse 37. About this time she became ill and died. Her body was washed for burial and laid in an upstairs room. But the believers had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydia, so they sent two men to beg him, please come as soon as possible. So here we see, you know, Dorcas was very loved in the community of Joppa. Her reputation for good works was identified her as a wealthy woman, you know, the fact that she was able to help all these people. She embodied the Jewish heritage by generously caring for those in need. And then when she became ill and died, the believers who knew Dorcas heard that Peter was in the nearby town, and they sent for him. So although she was dead, and she'd been dead for a little bit because they'd already prepared her body for burial, they had faith and believed that this person, Peter, could save her, could bring her back to life. So let's continue reading in verse 39. So Peter returned with them, and as soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room, the room that was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coats and other clothes Dorcas had made for them. So we see here that Peter arrived at her home. Her body was already laid out. He went up to see her. All the widows were there weeping. They showed her, you know, what she had done for them, you know, the robes and other clothing that she had made. And it's just an evidence of her love for other people and helping other people. And let's read verses 40 through 41. But Peter asked them all to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed, turning to the body, he said, "Get up, Tabitha." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the widows and all the believers, and he presented her to them alive. And then verse 42, the news spread through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord. So because she was well known, I'm sure the news had already gotten through town that she was dead. And it probably spread pretty quickly. So I'm sure the news of her resurrection probably spread even quicker. You know, Peter's motive, at least in part, for raising Dorcas to life, may have been for the sake of the widows and the others in Joppa that needed her. The resurrection of Dorcas, who also was a major reason for so many people in Joppa believed, this miracle performed in the name of the Lord led many to faith in Christ. You know, so Dorcas had died, but there was people around her that believed in God and believed that a miracle could happen. And so they asked for Peter to come and raise her. But God, he did that. But God, she didn't stay dead. He had Peter there, again, for a reason. He had Peter there to help raise her from the dead because she was such a good person. But not only that, because of her influence and how many people were saved because of that. God was not done with her. She still had a purpose. Because she was raised, many became believers. Have you ever had a time in your life where you were spiritually dead? I think we all have. I think we all go through times when we feel closer to God than other times. It's not because he moved, though. It's because we moved. But, you know, there's times in our life where we just feel spiritually dead, that we're not doing what God has wanted us to do or called us to do. And have you ever ran just as hard as you could in the opposite direction? Yeah. I think we all have done that, too. You know, being a Christian is not all roses. It's not easy. You know, and I think we've talked about it before, but I think we're tempted even more. Our targets are bigger on our backs even more. So maybe you're running right now. Maybe your spiritual life is dead. Maybe you've walked away from your relationship with God. All those that are around you that think you're dead and lost and there's no hope for you, they want that Christian that you once were back. They think that you're gone, or so it seems. But God. You know, those people that are around you that they care about you and they know the person that you can be, you know, they cry for you, they pray for you. They want to see you alive in Christ again. You know, God can raise you back to life, that spiritual dead. He can raise you back. You know, His plan for us, like I mentioned at the beginning, had nothing to do with us. He wants to use each of us to love each other, help each other along the way, make disciples. And we go through these hard times where we just don't feel like we can do it anymore. I'm so guilty of that. We go through all those times. None of us are exempt from that. You know, it doesn't matter what I do. Yeah, I'm standing up here talking, but that doesn't make me exempt from feeling spiritually dead. I'm human. So we all go through those times. And usually when I'm pretty low, there are some people that are really close to me that know, and they'll call me out. And I was like, what's going on? What's happening? Something's going on. God put those people in my life to make me accountable. And he does the same for each of you. In this community of believers that we have in this building, we all love each other. You know, we might not know each other that well, but I care about every single person here. And so we should hold each other accountable. And when we're in those spiritually low times, we need to call you out in a nice way. But we need to call each other out. That's what we're here for. That's why God put us in this community of believers, was to call each other out. Never, ever, ever gives up on us. Never. And we need to understand that regardless of if you're paralyzed or if you're spiritually dead, he wants to bring you back to life. He wants to bring you back around. So we can learn some things from these two miracles that Peter performed. Aeneas probably had given up hope. But God stepped in and sent Peter to change his life forever. And when you're down and out, when you're paralyzed by the things going on around you, allow God to step in and change your life. Stop trying to do it yourself. You know, when we're paralyzed, we're trying to make it all work and make it make sense, and just let God. It's so easy for me to say that because I'm working on that myself. That's a thing that I have to work on. But, you know, just let God step in and do it. I promise that it will be a better outcome. I mess things up a lot of times because I try to do it myself. So just let God. Allow God to step in. You know, Dorcas died, and all those around her thought she was gone forever, except for those believers. And just like with you, there may be people in this around you that think that you're gone. You know, oh, you went to church and now you're not, and you know, they think that you're gone forever, your Christian life is gone. But I guarantee you there's some people in your life that love you and are still praying for you. But God wants you back. He wants you as his child. He wants you to live the life that he has planned for you. So no matter how far gone you think you are never too far gone for God. You know, Dorcas was dead, but God, he brought her back to life. He used Peter and resurrected her, just like he can resurrect us from a spiritual death. He wants to do the same for us. He wants to bring us back to life. He loves you, and he wants you to come home. Will you allow him to? Will you allow him to bring you back to life? Your resurrection from your spiritual death could help others become saved. And like I've said before, he can take our messes and make them into a message. I say that a lot, but it's so true. And I repeat it to myself a lot. Take your mess and make it into a message. You know, these two people that we talked about, they seem like ordinary people. We don't have a lot of details about either of them. And just 10 short verses tell us their story. But God used them, and we can learn a few lessons from each of them. So lesson one, allow God to make you new. Allow God to make you new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. So just like God healed Aeneas and made him anew, he can do the same for you. He wants to make you a new creation. He wants to heal you. So allow him to do that. Lesson number two, allow God to use you. Allow him to use you. Because of the healing of Aeneas and the resurrection of Dorcas, many turned to the Lord and became believers. Your life, good and bad, can be used to help others know God. How can he use the bad? He can bring us through it, and we can have a testimony from it. It's so important to share with people where we came from. It's so important to share valleys that we've been through, because somebody else is probably going through the same thing. So allow God to use you. We never know the influence our lives, past and present, can have on others. It took me a long time to get comfortable in sharing my flaws. It took me a long time to get to the point where I could talk about my past and our stupid choices and things that we did. But I'm so glad that I've gotten where I can talk about it. Because once I start talking about it, there's somebody else that's gone through the same thing. Or they might go through it and then call me and say, hey, this is, you know, you just never know. So allow God to use you. And then lesson number three, allow God to bring you back to life. Allow him to bring you back to life. Dorcas was dead and all seemed lost, but God had other plans. Just like Dorcas, God has plans for each of us. He is the cure for spiritual deadness. He can bring you back to life, but you must allow him to intercede. You must let him have complete control of your life in order for him to bring you back to life. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. That's what we're all doomed to, is death. But he can bring you back to life if you let him. So lesson one, allow God to make you new. Lesson two, allow God to use you. Lesson three, allow God to bring you back to life. And there's one more miracle that I want to talk about. And it's not found in Acts 9, but it's actually found in the whole entire Bible. It is the miracle of God's love. The miracle of God's love. Each of us was created by God out of love. He created the humans in the first place because he loved. He wanted to love. He created man and woman and put them in this beautiful garden. They had everything they could ever want. Unfortunately, we know what happened. Eve had to eat the apple. But because of Adam and Eve's sin, because they disobeyed God, now all of us are born sinners, and we're all born doomed for hell. Romans 3:23 says, "For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard." As soon as we're born into this earth, we are sinners, and we fall short. But God, he loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to rescue us in spite of the sin. He came and died on the cross. He came to die for you, every single one of you. He took your sins and your death and your judgment and your hell that you deserve. And he died on the cross for you. That is a miracle. The miracle of God's love. You know, did you know that Jesus speaks about hell more than anything else in the Bible? He wanted us to see that what he was going to endure on the cross for us, on that cross, his punishment was indescribable. I mean, it was bloody, it was disfigured. He was in pain. He slowly suffocated to death. But it wasn't because of his sin. It's because of ours. He didn't do anything. But God, he did it for us. He did it for us. John 3:16, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." So this love that God has is immeasurable, unmistakable, and unending. And he never gives up on us. What a miracle that is for some of us that he never gives up on us. David? Sorry. Had to throw the David joke in there. Sorry, you haven't been picked on in a couple weeks, so had to throw it in there. But, you know, he never gives up on us. Regardless of where we run or where we go or what we're doing, he's there. You know, it doesn't matter if you're somewhere you shouldn't be, he's there. You can't hide from God. You can't hide anything from God. But he loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. He never gives up on you. He never gives up on me. So many of you think you are too hurt to be used. God loves you and he'll make you whole. Some of you may think you're too far gone. God loves you and he'll run after you. Thank God for that. He is a miracle worker. God's not limited, and he is certainly able to work in miraculous ways today, just like he did in biblical times. We might not see those miracles like that Peter performed here, but he still works. A miracle that we're all here. We're all miracles, living, breathing miracles. So no matter where you are or where you've been, God loves you. Allow God to change you. Allow him to make you new. Allow him to use you. Allow him to bring you back to life. Allow God to work a miracle in your life. We can be forever changed. Just like Aeneas and Dorcas, their lives were forever changed. But more importantly than their lives being changed, was those that were saved because their lives were changed. You hear me talk about the ripple effect, but it's so very important that you understand how your actions affect others. So let him use you and know that, you know, no matter what I've done, he loves me. He wants to change me. He wants to bring me back to life. Will you allow God to do that? Will you allow him to change you? You're not too far gone. But God. It's amazing to me how there's so many different stories in this room, and I don't know everybody's stories, but I know some of the stories. And I know where you came from, and I know where you are now. But God stepped in and changed. I know that rose right there. I know some of y'all's stories. And I know some of your story. You know, I know, but I don't know everybody's story. We all have a story, and we all have a past. So just don't think that I am no better than anybody else. I honestly, in worldly standards, should not be here. Should not be standing in this spot right now. But God. That's the only reason I'm here. So I need all of you to understand that. He loves you where you are, right at this exact moment. You might be spiritually dead, but he's right there, and he wants to bring you back to life. Let him. I'm begging. Please, let him. We need you. This world needs you. This community needs you. This church needs you. But more importantly, God needs you. He needs you to live up to your potential. He needs you to just be your purpose, what he planned for you. And if you've, you know, ventured off and you're not living the life that you should, and again, we all go through those times, come home. Come back to him. You know, he wants you to be in his family, and he wants to spend eternity with each of us. But you just got to let him work. And you got to let him work a miracle. So we're going to sing a song at the end called Broken Vessels. And I want to read just a couple of lines from that because I love this song. All these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended, and whole. I think we can all relate to those pieces. I think we've all been broken and scattered at one point. But mercy gathered us and made us whole. He'll take our failures and he'll take our weaknesses and he will turn them around. But God, he loves us so much that he sent his son to die for each of us. And he wants to use you if you will allow him. If you will stand with me and let's pray.